Yo, welcome back to an episode of Concerns Me, Boy Live.
It's me, Joe.
And we're here to talk about the newest film release that came out at the time of this recording. A movie that everyone was hyped up for, though I would say half of people were hyped up, half of the other people were like, do we really need this? But if you don't know, we're talking about the Joker, Folie à Deux. I think I pronounced that right. I'm not French, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that sounds about French to me. You know, otherwise known as Joker 2, right?
Yeah. For the uncultured.
Yeah, you know. Sequel to, you know, the very popular Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker, right? So yeah, we get to come back to this world because you know, it's a
sequel.
Different take of the DC universe still, right? Not related to any other stuff that, say, James Gunn is doing with his stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be, you know, it was always going to be an interesting, like, you know, take to do a sequel.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that, like, the first one warranted a sequel, although, I mean, with setting up the death of Bruce Wayne's parents again at the end of that movie.
Yeah, just, do you want to go over what your thoughts about the first movie before we talk about our...
I mean, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I know we do have a review...
It's a really good episode, too.
Yeah, that we did on...
It's one of my favorite ones we did.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to go check our full thoughts about that review, definitely go check it out on the YouTube or wherever we put our podcast stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. You know, yeah, like you said, I think I remember it being a pretty good episode for us. But, yeah, no, I think I remember, and I still do have these feelings of, with Joker, the first one that...
Yeah, because I remember it was you, me, and Kelvin back in the day. Kelvin loved it. I thought it was okay, and you had a very different opinion.
Yeah, because I was more... I leaned towards, I think it was all right, but it also just felt way too... way too much like a Scorsese film, which I understand that was kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
Like... And, you know, the director, Todd Phillips, talked about, like, you know, kind of just making, his, like, not as much as a comic book movie kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fully going into, like, oh, you know, I'm inspired by, like, all these Martin Scorsese films, but then it feels like, at the end of the day, that movie was just, you know, The King of Comedy or Taxi Driver, but with the Joker as the main character, which, you know, which I get, for some people, they really like that, but for me personally, I was like... I don't know, like, it just feels like you're just copying and pasting stuff from other good movies and just making it this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's
like,
not...
Like, there's a level of, like, how much are you referencing just for, you know, just, like, for references or just straight-up copying?
Yeah, you know, that was sort of my thing with it. And, you know, I mean, obviously, I think that was sort of a bit of a minority opinion. And I know, I think, as the movie has aged, I think a lot of people started to have that opinion more often.
Yeah.
But still, overall, people really
liked
it.
Surprisingly,
one, right?
I think it was for some people the first introduction to other kind of movies. Because, you know, most of the people will probably watch it because it was a
DC movie, right?
A DC movie, even though it really, like, my main issue, like, I thought it was also all right, but, like, my main issue is that it really didn't need to be a DC movie to be a good movie. It feels very much like you're using the DC property as a way to get your movie made. And I get that's kind of like the more cynical way to look at it, but I feel like this movie would have done well, even if it didn't have anything to do with like you know, DC's Joker. This, I mean, you could have just made it the same way you did and just don't call it, like, well, you could still call it Joker maybe, but like not have any connection of anything like Batman lore.
Right.
Because I remember one of the things I really didn't like about the first one was just how they would write in Batman and Bruce Wayne and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, this doesn't feel natural. This feels like we stopped just to, you know, insert these Batman stuff.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, this is a DC movie. We gotta add the bits, which, by the way, the Joker, this movie also kind of has that, but not as bad.
Not as bad. But, like, for me, the thing that made you, me, and I think even then, Kelvin, like, really like grown was the death of the Waynes. I'm like, was that needed? No. That was definitely not needed, right? Like, this could have worked either, like, just not including any of that.
Yeah, it just very much felt like a, you know, we're doing a Joker origin movie. And we're having Thomas Wayne, and thus, therefore, Bruce Wayne in here. Yeah, let's just, you know, it has to be done, right? Because that's what we always do,
right? It broke the pacing for me a lot of times. But now with this one, you know, there's different things. We're here now. We're introduced to Harley Quinn, played by Lady Gaga herself, the fantastic musician, singer she is. And this is sort of going over a new story about his trial, the effect that Arthur Fleck has had in the city of Gotham, or New York, because that's been the thing that a lot of people have been talking about.
Well, I think where you're confused is that it's the state of New York.
Yeah.
Gotham is a city in New York, is what I'm understanding from the...
Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, like...
Because I feel like I had to mention, because there's a lot of people talking, and I remember hearing about, like, that was a weird line. Like, yeah, it was, but... but yeah, no, that's what I thought. You're
yeah, because I feel like in DC lore, I guess, I think they kind of have it like Gotham is just another city in like New York State. I think where I don't know, because I think that's the thing with DC. A lot of the times is that unlike Marvel, that uses like a lot of real world cities and stuff for their characters to live in, like New York City, you know. All that stuff. DC definitely seems to have a more tendency of just making more fictional cities that are more based on other cities. Right?
Yeah, I remember how in the Blue Beetle movie they introduced a new city that you're like, wait, ain't it supposed to be El Paso? No, they introduced it in the comic, guys. But for those of you who are new, the way we usually tend to do this is that we give like a minute of our full thought on the movie. And then from there we kind of like go more in deep with it. And at the end, we kind of give our rating. So, Joe, why don't you start us off with your thought on Joker Fully Ado?
Okay, so Joker Fully Ado, or Joker 2, was a very interesting experience. It definitely splits from the original movie by being a sort of pseudo-musical take, as well as sort of courtroom drama. And unfortunately, it doesn't really do either of those things very well. The musical portions, some are alright, but most of the time it just sort of like feels like needless and meandering, and the courtroom drama stuff is more or less just there for fluff, except for maybe one scene with a different character. But overall, the plot just seems kind of meandering, as like, while the, you know, the relationship between Joker and Harley is interesting and to watch and explore, it just doesn't really sort of gel well by the end of the movie, and it definitely has just a hard take by the end, which is, I think a lot of people have seen, is very controversial.
Alright, that's your 1 minute. Good call. Alright, so it's up to me now. Joker Fully Ado is a very, very interesting take on Joker itself. If you've had similar problems with the first one, you're probably going to find similar things here. Whether or not they're explored better is totally dependent on you. I still feel the same way I did with coming to the first Joker movie, where did this need to be related to DC? And that will kind of depend on you and your take on this film. For me, I feel like it definitely didn't need to be anything related to the DC character itself to be just as good. Now, when it comes to something, for a lot of people, is how it's directed. I feel some people are going to look at it a lot better than others. For me, I do think a lot, they're trying to say a lot of stuff and not really nailing what they wanted to do. I understand what Todd Phillips and the crew wanted to do, but I don't think it was executed as well. And that's my take.
Alright, so this will be spoiler-free.
I'll say this now. We have been conversing hard on whether or not this is before spoiler free or not.
Yeah, because, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but if you've been hearing the reviews online, which this movie was already kind of interesting because from what we heard from, like, I think it was the Cannes Film Festival or something.
Yeah,
it was like a brand. It was a film festival where they premiered, the movie, and it got like an 11 minute
standing ovation. And there were it was already coming out with sort of mixed reception. Like, I think the one that most people kind of like latched onto was the IGN review giving it like a 5 or 6. I don't recall.
Yeah.
Which is like, really? These guys gave that low? Aren't they like the super nerds or whatever? Because, you know, gaming reviews and all that stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, they gave, Transformers 1, like, low reviews. Point is, IGN is very,
Yeah, and it's very inconsistent, so honestly, you don't really need to pay much attention to them. Unless it's like one of the guys who's like, oh no, this guy's kind of legit. I kind of gave it to him.
Well, as long as it's an expert of someone that's,
yeah,
doing stuff. But anyways, yeah, obviously people have been talking about this movie. It has been having very mixed receptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ending was definitely part of that. I won't talk much about
No.
The ending itself, but
if I were to say something about the ending, I think the ending makes sense, but the further it goes, it starts to crumble.
The more you think about it, you
mm-hmm.
start to go, hey, wait a second here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like, I'm not going to go that deep into it again, but like the central reaction for the movie that when we were watching it with other people started off pretty okay, but as it went along, I can already feel groans.
I mean, yeah, because I'll bring up the musical portions again, because that was something I talked about, is that Todd Phillips mentioned that he wanted it, well, I believe, from what I understood, that Joaquin Phoenix was the one that brought up, like, maybe doing, if they were, about doing a sequel and having it be kind of a musical thing.
Yeah,
right?
Because the idea was that Arthur himself is an entertainer, he wants to entertain people, so, like, comedy/musical would probably be the thing he wants to do.
Yeah, and I believe Todd Phillips came out in interviews talking about how he wanted to make a musical movie that wasn't much of a musical, something like that, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think that's an interesting line of thinking, but at the same time, it just does not, it kind of misses out on what a musical is supposed to be.
Yeah.
It
does.
And, I mean, granted, I'm not, like, super big into musicals in the first place.
No.
I think I've seen some in the past, and there are some that are like, okay, yeah, that's all right,
And then some that are just like, oh, that was actually pretty good.
Like, I guess the closest movies that I would say are musicals that I enjoy are, like, I guess the old Disney Renaissance movies. The Little Mermaid, The Lion King.
I was gonna say for me, what was that, Singing in the Rain one?
Oh, yeah, right, forgot, yeah, Singing in the Rain, that 1950s movie.
West Side Story, and I think there's, like, another, like, I've seen a couple more musicals than you have.
I believe it, Hairspray, is that one?
Hairspray is one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Hairspray is one. I know, like, everyone and their mothers is really into Hamilton, and a lot of the Lin-Manuel Miranda stuff recently.
I know Mamma Mia is a musical.
Mamma Mia is a musical, I did not watch that. I've seen Moulin Rouge. I've seen like a lot. I would say I've watched more musicals. Yeah, because then more musicals than you. I'm not a musical expert. I'll say that right now. Just so don't come at me if I start talking about like Into the Woods or something like that. How they stole some marks
or
snub.
Or I mean, I guess I Les Mis is probably the one I can think of as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
But
we just don't mention Cats.
Yeah, because I mean, because I feel like when it comes to I don't know if Todd Phillips is talking about like making it more realistic, because I feel like that's what I don't know the name of the director that did Les Mis, because he did Cats.
Yeah.
And his whole big thing was making the musical as realistic as possible, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which for a lot of people who aren't into musicals seemed pretty cool.
But for people who really like musicals, especially those two musicals that were like actual stage musicals before they made movies about them,
mm-hmm.
were like, I don't like this at all.
No,
actually.
Because there's a way in which the actors are singing that doesn't like, it's almost speak-sing kind of stuff.
Yeah, which this movie definitely does.
It definitely does. I think the part of it, which is sad because like, if I'm being honest, when I heard it's musical, they're getting Lady Gaga, I'm like, oh, she's about to blow the roof off this,
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you don't listen to Gaga, you know her, like, vocal range. She's one of those, like, musicians.
Very popular.
Very popular, Yeah, it's, So you're coming in there and like, okay, I'm waiting for the Gaga moment, and I'm not gonna lie, there was no moment.
I mean, yeah, like, there wasn't, I guess there wasn't, I guess if you're a big fan of Lady Gaga singing, there wasn't a whole, like, a huge moment where she had her own, like, power ballad or something like that, right?
Yeah.
She just, because it's mostly just singing together with the Joker a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, like, the, I guess, the way they handled the musicals does make sense, because
mm-hmm.
I think I remember thinking to myself, when I heard the news, it's like, okay, so I figure, like, they'll probably do it as some sort of, like, it's all in their head kind of thing, because
mm-hmm.
it would be kind of weird for them to just be singing out of nowhere.
And for a second, I thought that's what they were going. Until the second time they start singing.
Yeah, because there is a moment in the film where
mm-hmm.
Joker's doing an interview, essentially, because his whole court defense is, oh, I'm going to plead insanity. There's two different versions of me. Regular, you know, Arthur Flagg, you know, abused person, you know,
yeah,
the mental health, and then the Joker part of me that's like, I, you know, who's cracked, you know, blah blah blah, you know,
who committed murders, who killed five people, which I feel like there was more last time. But then again, that's kind of the whole point of, that's kind of a bit of a thing with the first one. It's kind of an unravel narrator situation.
Mm-hmm.
So it there's a lot of stuff within there, like, where you thought it was going to be like in his head, but it's like, no, it's not. This is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's supposed to be funny how they're doing it in like, you know, out in broad daylight with a bunch of people, but, like, it's never played for laughs, in my opinion. You know?
Right.
Like, there's that one scene where Harley starts dancing in the middle, like, as she's about to go into the courtroom.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I supposed to laugh, or am I supposed to, like, I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, like, especially since none of the other characters actually sort of react to her doing it like
mm-hmm.
that. Especially since, I think at that point in the movie, people know who she is, kind
mm-hmm.
of, right?
Well, I think that's what it is. There's only, like, one time I actually kind of laughed, and that was by the second time Joaquin Phoenix's Joker starts laughing, you know, Arthur. Not laughing, I'm singing. And because, like, at that point, I feel like, okay, everyone's acknowledging this is happening, but no one is
saying anything or doing anything about it, right?
Yeah. Like, there were so many times I'm like, if this is going on right now, I'm surprised one person hasn't gone up and, like, done something, right?
Yeah, because I think the first time they break out into the musical number, it's very clear. It's all in his head,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're like, hey, you know, like, I'm talking to you. You know, it's like, oh, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I think the second time where he has his solo song, I guess, right, it's just like, he's doing this. You know, like, I think, are they, what's the, because it's like, at that moment, it's like, there's not, because usually when it comes to something, I guess when it comes to, like, a musical version, musical stuff like that, where it's like, oh, it's in your head kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
there's a moment where the character will snap back to reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it doesn't really happen a lot, which is, you know, again, really weird, and just sort of very.
No, I would say probably for some people, it'll be like, that's kind of the point, and I'm like, yeah, but it's, you can never tell. There's never a moment where you feel like this is what's going on, you know?
Because, again, like, in the last movie, yeah, clearly, you know, Arthur Fleck has those moments of, like, clearly not seeing reality for what it is,
mm-hmm.
right? But we know, and there's that moment where it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's the moment I always bring up, that one of the reasons why I had a hard time, like, following through with the story, because I kind of knew this is all in his head. And it's one of the moments, like, you know, it's like when we were talking with Kelvin at the time, he was like, oh, I can't believe he was able to, you know, snag Zazie Beetz's character. And we're like, no, dude, that was all in his head. He's like, what? Because he didn't realize, because the thing that you and I noted that throughout the movie is, like, where is that child?
Yeah, where's the kid?
Where's the kid? And, like, for me, I was like, that's how I know this is all in his head. This is, he doesn't acknowledge anything else but the thing he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And here, it's like, I can't tell anymore, but also can't tell if that's because I'm dumb, or they didn't do a good job of letting us understand what's in his mind and what's not. Like, because that was kind of like the, because again, when we find out that she, that her relationship was all in his head, that was like the big reveal, right?
Right, yeah.
That's like how you knew how bad his psychosis is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably using the wrong term, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, his delusion's probably more like it. But yeah, you know, that's sort of again, that's probably these musical numbers is probably half the reason I think people, you know, have issues with it. I mean, granted, I know some people probably were like were already not gonna like the movie because it was gonna be like a musical kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, at the same time, as long, you know, again, there's an idea of how to make it work. It's just the execution and the, I guess, the insistence of being, you know, realistic, right? Because I mean, we haven't talked about the singing much, like the actual performance. I mean, Lady Gaga, you know, obviously did very good in the role.
Very good, just not what people, I guess, would want.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Joaquin Phoenix, who I understand has done musical stuff before,
he played Johnny Cash.
Yeah, so like clearly the man understands how to sing and stuff. But Todd Phillips wanted him, I guess, to sing in his Joker sort of, you know, Arthur Fleck voice, and it just doesn't really.
There was a moment where I made the joke to you, where I'm tapping out, I'm out of here, I can't do it. Him singing made it so bad. And it's weird. It's I should feel for something, but I just want this to end. Put me out of my misery. And some people say like maybe that's what you maybe what the director wanted. And I'm like I can't say that. I can't be saying that for.
I would don't think it would be what the director wants. Because mainly unless he was like forced to make it into a musical, which I don't think he was. Again, it was Joaquin Phoenix's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't feel like if he was very adamant against it, he could have just not done it.
Well, there is a part of the story where it kind of gives me the idea that he might not have wanted to do it unless, you know, he had something to say. And there is something that he's trying to say that I don't know. Do you want to go into, like, the supposed meta commentary?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about that. It is a very interesting discussion.
Because, I remember one of the first things I heard about the film, like, not to go, they didn't go into full conversation about this, but some of the other stuff I saw about the movie is that it's kind of like a meta-commentary on people who look at Joker as, I guess, heroic. Because this movie is kind of, like, more, like, doubling down on, like, no, you should not be in support of this dude.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was sort of a discussion that not a lot of people talked about. Well, I guess that was made before and like after Joker released the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were worried about, you know, people recommitting, like, you know, the whole Aurora shooting that happened like during The Dark Knight Rises. You know, where a dude dressed up as the Joker, but you know, that sort of thing. You know, people just felt like, oh, you know, the Joker is portrayed as this lonely guy, right, who feels like he's been, you know, abandoned by the world, you know, that's this whole thing, right?
Which is funny, because that's a certain interpretation of Joker. It's not... part of me is like, you guys do not read comics, because if you read, like, anything involving the Joker, it's like, oh no, he's a monster.
Yeah, you know, like, pretty much, you know, it's like you said, like, the first movie definitely seemed to make Joker a bit sympathetic, and sort of, like, understanding as to why he is the way he is.
Mm.
And this, in the sequel, does kind of follow up on that, right? Like, there's a lot of people in the city that are, like, in support of him. People still dress up as him. You know, they're like, they want him to free the Joker, right?
But not because he's someone who suffers mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he was kind of this edgelord.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, and heck, I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about Harley's relationship.
Yeah, we can involve that in there too.
Yeah, because it's a bit of a spin on the usual Joker Harley relationship, right? I won't go too deep into it because it is kind of serves as like one of the main, plot lines here.
But once you notice, you kind of know where it's gonna go.
Yeah, like, you know, she basically kind of fills the role of like a Manson girl, you know, someone who's very obsessed with serial killers and stuff like that. And you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's a very interesting take. But once you start to sort of see how the whole thread unravels between her and Joker, and it's like, oh, okay, well, this is a bit,
yeah,
odd, and
it's very odd, and like. There's a certain reading I took from it that made me very uncomfortable from it, that I'm not going to go into this. But, like, let's just say that there's a certain way you can read it, and it's just feels kind of gross. I get what they were doing. Like I said earlier, I understand what Todd Phillips was trying to do, and a lot of the people working in there were trying to make this sort of, you know, conversation of the Joker's, like, influence and how it has affected and how he's not essentially meant to be this sort of, like, sympathetic, well, maybe sympathetic, but not, like, fully absolved of the stuff that he's done.
Right.
He's essentially supposed to be like, you know, he is at fault, and he is at, you know, he did do these things at the, not the end of the day, but like, kind of like, you know, this, I don't know where how to go further into that conversation, but essentially, like, I guess the best way to sum it up is this one specific scene. I don't know if you want to go into that specific scene. You know which one I'm talking about, where in the courtroom with that one character.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, like, it's a character from the first movie that gets put on the stand, and, you know, if you know the character, then you kind of know where it kind of goes, and it's still pretty, it's probably, like, the only good, like, courtroom scene from that whole, from the movie.
Yeah, cause, because, like,
it definitely harbors in on, like, yeah, you know, listen, you know, Joker, you killed some people that were definitely assholes and stuff, but at the same time,
who probably might have deserved it,
but at the same time, the people around you were affected negatively by it, you know. It's
but yeah, you're not, it, like, your actions have consequences. Your actions hurt others, kind
yeah.
of stuff. And
you're hurting innocent people with what you've done.
Like, the dialogue between those two, I'm like, oh my god, this is so good. Essentially, I feel like this is what the movie wanted to be at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Until it did some stuff. But yeah, there is, like, that commentary. And Harley Quinn is kind of, like, one of those commentaries on, like, people who kind of obsess over these kind of people.
And if we want to bring it back to the meta commentary, there is a plot line, or at least a thing in the plot where they talk about a TV-made movie about Joker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Harley's, like, one of the people, like, oh, I watched it a bunch of times, like, it's great, you know. And then we see, like, some other characters being like, oh, that was just complete, you know, trash and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
it feels like the way they speak about it, because it's like,
oh,
like,
yeah,
it feels like, oh, this TV-made movie made about the Joker is like an analog to the first movie and people's reactions to it. Some people, like Harley, being like, oh, that was great, you know, you spoke to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And other people like, oh, it was just complete, you know, like, this is just bad, you know, like, this is just, it's solely, you know, terrible kind
of thing. There's a lot of things that in it, like, and for a lot of people who are thinking that we're trashing on it, no, in reality, some of the stuff we're talking about is stuff that we kind of do like.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the day, there are some, you know, solid sequences. I mean, this interesting take on Arkham Asylum, you know, pretty interesting. Just sort of seeing Joker has this sort of interesting, you know, character sort of arc, I guess, of just sort of, like, being, you know,
mm-hmm.
wanting to be who he is, but also at the same time, also feeling like, is this who I am, kind of thing, right?
Am I meant to be the Joker?
Yeah, like, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that decision, you know, is one of the big plots of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, it's just, but at the same time, there's, like, all these other things that sort of just sort of, like, bring it down, and it's like, you can see, I think, and like we said earlier, like, you can see where, like, okay, maybe, like, the blueprint for the movie could have worked
mm-hmm.
if you just laid it out and were honestly more honest about it.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, like, I do feel like if they went, actually did want to go full out on a musical, they could have done that
mm-hmm.
and had it work, you know? But I don't know if it's just because Todd Phillips doesn't really care for that sort of stuff because, or what, or, you know.
Because to be honest, again, I kind of still feel like, and I don't want to go into that ending, but, like, there's so many times where I'm just like, dude, do you even want to do this, connect this to, like, comic book stuff? Because it feels like you kind of don't, especially when it came to that, some of that musical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yes, there's a character named Harvey Dent who's just kind of, like, there. There's allusions to other comic book stuff, and there's like, clearly you're taking aspects from this comic book, but, like, kind of doing the reverse and not really doing much with it. And, you know, Harley herself is, you know, sadly, you know, Gaga, as great of an actress she is, I don't think there's enough for her to really make something of a character. And it's just kind of like, just using some of the aspects of her and just kind of like, as more as like window set, window set, what do you call it, window dressing?
Yeah.
For it, and it just kind of feels like, dude, I feel like you just wanted to do this movie, but not, or if you, even if you didn't, it's like, you don't want to like connect it too much to comics, and I totally get that. I would still watch this, even if it wasn't had to do with comics, because like, I'm thinking of it as like that one movie that came out a couple years back that people was like, is this a secret, like, prequel to Venom or something? Well, you know, that movie Life?
Oh, I think I do, yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, because honestly, if you did it something like in that way, where it's like, it has nothing to do with Marvel or like Spider-Man, it just happened to be a very like similar tone, I think that would have been really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, I feel like, you know, Todd Phillips has a great idea for this, but it just did not execute as much as like maybe he didn't want to. Like I said, I don't know the guy. I can't say all these words and say it's truth. I just, you know, this is how I kind of view it.
Right, right. And I don't know. It's just, at the end of the day, you know, it's just sort of, like, again, for me, with the ending, I won't get too much into it, but it definitely seems to be kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like that's the point. The ending is essentially just sort of the wrap-up of, like, okay, this is what this movie's about, basically,
yeah.
At the end, right? But for a lot of people, I think, obviously, it's a bit unsatisfying. Heck, I think at the end of the day, that whole ending was unsatisfying for everyone, honestly.
Like I said, I feel like it went a little too long. If it just stopped at where it needed to, I think it would have been fine. but yeah, no, it's just, for me, I think it's, if I'm being honest, I think it's okay. I think it's just maybe a little too long, but I think it's still just kind of okay. I don't think it's a horrible movie. I think it's pretty, like, okay, like I said, decent. It has a very good message to tell, but it doesn't have enough for it to really, like, stand on its own 2 feet.
Yeah, I would probably go with more of just a lot of, like, wasted potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of good ideas, but ultimately none of it lands very well, and it just becomes just a jarbled mess. It's like someone trying to, like, make their own, like, recipe for something,
mm-hmm.
and seeing other people how they do it, and it just does not work at all.
No,
right?
It doesn't.
But yeah, you know, that's, I guess how I feel about it mainly, right? Like, it's like a person who's trying to be a chef,
mm-hmm.
and tries to recreate stuff they see on TV, but it doesn't work out well. So it just becomes like a jarbled mess that just, like, you can kind of see where they wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately, is not executed properly,
yeah.
And you know, for a lot of people, you know, that's just, especially I think, because I think when it comes to the meta narrative of like, oh, you know, people who idolize the Joker,
I feel like they're gonna come out of it a lot more upset than like I wasn't that upset with it. I was just more like, okay, we're going there. I feel like if you are the people that's critiquing, I think you might come out a little bit more upset with it than anyone else. I think everyone else would be gonna be like, oh man, the movie kind of, you know, not suck, but like, it's kind of, wish it was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if you kind of like view it in that sort of way, you will probably. Hence why I was saying earlier, you know, like if you view it in a certain light, I think it comes out a lot better. But if you view it in a different way, it's like, nah, I can't, nah, I ain't thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what would your rating be?
Because
I'll be honest, I needed to sleep on it.
I don't know. For me, I think I would go, like, 5 out of 10. Like...
That's a lot lower than I thought.
Again, at the end of the day, like, you know, I feel like I explain myself when it comes to, like, low ratings like that. It's like, I see, a lot of people like to feel like, you know, oh, you know, 5 out of 10 is terrible. But it's like, no, 5 out of 10 is 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I see it as how you grade somebody.
Yeah.
You know, 70% is, like, I guess, passing, which is, like, mediocre or, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
right? 6 is, like, mediocre. 5 is just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's improvements there that could have been done, but it's just not good at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Like you still got, like you still missed half the test.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, there needed to be a lot more improvements and stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, because like honestly for me, I thought it was just kind of mediocre to the point where like I kind of bounced between 7 and 6. But like what's keeping me going from a little lower is because I do like the theme and the message, because I do kind of agree with it. But I don't know if that's like enough of a reason for me to go, you know, to give it that kind of rating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like, honestly, like, claps to Todd Phillips for like making a movie that's like that makes a lot of people just kind of like wonder on whether or not they actually do like it or hate it, I guess. You know, like that is an accomplishment you can have as a filmmaker. I'll say that. But I kind of would go like a 5.5. I think I came out of it liking it, like just a little. A bit better, but like I don't want to commit to the 6. You know.
Okay. Yeah. No. All right. No. And that's how you feel.
Yeah. It's I'm very conflicted, and I'm like in a way where I'm like, I do, like I said, like for me, I think the theming is the thing I really enjoyed of it. But I'm like, the more I think about everything and all the negatives, I think I'm like, nah, this just didn't work as much as I wanted it to. Like that's kind of like for me. It's like I'm a very like difficult position for it. Mm-hmm. I wish I can give like a more clear answer, but I kind of have to like settle on that. Maybe like at some point I'll be like, yeah, maybe a 5, maybe a 6. But right now I'm just gonna stick it to the middle, because I'm not willing to give it like a 7.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no. Joker Folio Do. It's not terrible, but it's also not that good. If you want to watch a good movie, go watch Transformers 1.
Yeah, that was a comment I saw. Hey, people were upset about the movie. Like, you know, don't spend your money on this movie. Go watch Transformers 1, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Go watch that movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Support animation, please. The I Stand With Animation hashtag is out going on. But if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I think it's Transformers most active on Instagram, where you find a link tree to all the podcasts that are official part of, like, all podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and all the like. And a link to the YouTube for all your audio listeners out there who have put a face to the voice. Be sure to comment, like, subscribe, hit the bell icon, and Patreon or any form of support. Yeah, Joker. I think at the end of the day, a lot of people agree that maybe a sequel wasn't needed.
Yeah.
I've seen even the most, like, supportive people who did enjoy the movie were like, yeah, this movie wasn't needed.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you don't have to make a sequel.
But the studio will make it.
Although, to be fair, there are other people that's like, we should have saw this coming. He made the Hangover movies. Hangover 1 is good. The rest are bad.
Well, yeah. At least he says he's not going to make another one, so he's learned his lesson. But anyways, guys, it's been me, Boy Life.
Me, Joe.
I guess I'll go one piece.